This program is brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you hear, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. Today's programme features, and I should say this is being recorded on the 19th of January 2021, and continuing the Maurice Seddon saga, shall we call it. Today I'm going to read out, or recite, what is entitled an example of a bundle. That is, it's a legal document which was presented to Captain Maurice Seddon for his own records, and this was a record of an ongoing legal battle that he had when he lived at Datchet Cottage with his neighbour, and it centred around the barking of his dogs. Maurice had a large collection of dogs that he kept in the grounds of Datchet Cottage, ostensibly for his own protection. The dogs they just ran wild in the gardens, and the population of dogs expanded. Anyway, this document is described as in the High Court of Justice, Queen's Bench Division, in the matter of the Royal Borough of Windsor and Maidenhead being the claimant stroke applicant, and Captain Retired Maurice Seddon, defendant stroke respondent. Injunction order. Penal notice. If you, the within-named Maurice Seddon, disobey this order, you may be held to be in contempt of court and liable to imprisonment or fined or your assets seized. Witness statements. 1. The statement of Jason Newman, Environmental Protection Officer, Royal Borough of Windsor and Maidenhead, dated the 24th of November 2009, and exhibits marked JN1 to JN20. 2. A statement of Philip Turner, Environmental Health Officer and Team Leader for Environmental Protection, Royal Borough of Windsor and Maidenhead, dated the 26th of November 2009. Next page. This is the witness statement of Jason Newman. I am Jason Newman, an environmental protection officer employed by the Royal Borough of Windsor and Maidenhead, whose address is Council Offices, York House, 41 Sheet Street, Windsor. I make this statement in support of the applicant's claim for a final injunction against the respondent. The matters set out below are within my knowledge except where I indicate to the contrary. 2. I work within the Waste and Environmental Protection Team, part of the Public Protection Unit. The Waste and Environmental Protection Team is responsible for investigating statutory nuisance complaints under the Environmental Protection Act 1990. I have 15 years' experience in investigating noise nuisance complaints. I hold a Master's degree in Environmental Management and Technology, an Honours degree in Environmental Technology, and a Diploma in Acoustic and Noise Control. The complainant is a Mr. Hardwick. He lives at 2 Homely Road, Datchet, Slough, which is next door to the respondent's premises. Mr. Hardwick complains of persistent noise nuisance from dog barking emanating from Captain Seddon's premises next door. Captain Seddon's address is Datchet Cottage, 138 Horton Road, Datchet, Slough. A map and aerial photograph are enclosed, Exhibit JN-1, to show the location of the two properties and their relationship to each other. It is noted Mr. Hardwick's property, a two-storey cottage, overlooks the rear and side of Captain Seddon's garden. Dog barking particularly affects the first floor, rear main bedroom and side office of Mr. Hardwick's property. Mr. Hardwick has been complaining about persistent dog barking for the past 7 years. The first complaint was raised with our team on the 5th of August 2002. Since then, Mr. Hardwick has raised complaints in 2003 twice, 2005, and his current complaint was registered October 2006. In addition, other complaints were raised by local residents in 2005, 2006 and 2007. A total of 12 complaints have been registered on our complaint database against Captain Seddon's dogs barking. From reviewing our complaints database system, the previous complaints were investigated by my colleague Craig Miller in 2002, 2003 and 2005. During this time, Mr. Miller had obtained substantial evidence of persistent dog barking and had formally written to Captain Seddon and also met with him on several occasions. Our initial approach when investigating statutory nuisances is advisory, and despite giving Captain Seddon advice on controlling the noise nuisance, the complaints continued and the number of dogs started to increase. It is noted from reading the notepad on the complaints database during a meeting between Mr. Miller and Captain Seddon in March 2005, Mr. Miller counted 5 dogs within Captain Seddon's premises. I am now the case officer and officially took over this case on the request of my team leader, Philip Turner, on the 29th of January 2007. My first involvement with the case started on the 5th of October 2006 when I installed a digital audio tape, DAT, recorder at the request of my team leader, Philip Turner. Prior to this date, I had no previous dealings in any capacity with this case. It was agreed that Philip Turner would assist me in my investigations and would continue to conduct all written correspondence with Captain Seddon in his capacity as team leader. It was also agreed the strategy of investigation was a combination of resident diary evidence, site visits and use of our noise recorders. At the time, the Environmental Protection Team used digital audio tape recorders to collect evidence of noise nuisance, in particular where noise occurs out of hours and when the noise is sporadic, such that it makes it difficult to personally witness the noise. Further, the Public Protection Unit does not provide a 24-hour response out-of-hours service. All out-of-hours visits are pre-arranged. The DAT machine records the noise and date and time stamps each recording. The complainant has to activate the recording manually by pressing the green button on the box and stop the recording by pressing the red button. The recordings are made onto a tape and cannot be saved electronically. There is an additional cost to convert the recordings onto a CD. Following a review of noise recordings, diary evidence submitted by Mr. Hardwick and Mr. Turner's personal observation of the dog barking, the evidence clearly indicated that the noise spoils Mr. Hardwick's right to peace and enjoyment and would also disturb his sleep, especially when it occurs in the early hours of the morning, and therefore amounted to a statutory noise nuisance. Philip Turner served a noise abatement notice under Section 79(1)(g) of the Environmental Protection Act 1990 on Captain Seddon on the 4th of January 2007, Exhibit JN/2. The noise required Captain Seddon to remove the dog or dogs from the premises or take other no less effective action to abate the nuisance. I received a court summons on complaint on 23rd of February 2007. The summons was dated the 16th of February 2007, to attend court on the 28th of March 2007. Captain Seddon had lodged an appeal under Section 80/3 of the Environmental Protection Act 1990. I visited Mr. Hardwick's property on the 19th of March 2007 with Chris Quatermain, our dog warden, in attendance, and she counted 7 dogs, a collie, a Labrador, and several mongrels, including 2 puppies, from Mr. Hardwick's office window. At the time, 2 police cars passed the site with their sirens on, and the dogs started howling and barking in unison for approximately 1 minute. This phenomenon of barking and howling in unison is noted on a number of noise recordings made by Mr. Hardwick. On hearing the evidence and arguments, the Magistrates Court dismissed the appeal on the 22nd of August 2007. Mr. Turner wrote to Captain Seddon on the 28th of August 2007, requesting proposals for implementing the terms of the notice and timescale, Exhibit JN/3. Captain Seddon then sent a letter dated the 3rd of September 2007 and confirmed he had sent a notice of appeal to Reading Crown Court. He also reiterated his position that he would, if need be, appeal to the highest European court. He clearly had no intention to remove his dogs, and attached to the letter was the notice of appeal, Exhibit JN/4. Mr. Hardwick continued to complain during this period, and it was clear he was being badly affected by the dogs barking at night and was unable to get a night's rest. I felt powerless to help until we had resolved this appeal to Reading Crown Court. It was clear from my legal team that we should not pursue a breach of the notice until this matter had been resolved. In the meantime, Mr. Hardwick continued to be affected by persistent dog barking. Mr. Turner wrote to Captain Seddon on the 17th of December 2007, Exhibit JN/5, to advise we were continuing to receive complaints and have a legal duty to investigate these complaints. Philip also pointed out that we intend to use our noise monitoring equipment as well as personal visits to determine if a noise nuisance continued. If Captain Seddon continued to breach the terms of the notice and we obtained evidence to this effect, Philip and I decided we may need to take further legal action to resolve this long-running complaint. The Crown Court case started on the 24th of January 2008 and lasted 2.5 days, as the recorder was keen to allow Captain Seddon to present all aspects of his case and to explain why he required so many dogs to protect his premises. All the key issues were debated and evidence presented, including cross-examination. The court dismissed the appeal and upheld the notice, and the judgment is enclosed, Exhibit JN/6. It was clear the noise from persistent dog barking at night was a nuisance as the background levels start to drop. In respect of leaving the local authority and Captain Seddon to deal with the question how best the nuisance should be abated, the recorder commented that in Mr. Hardwick's view, that 1 or 2 dogs kept indoors and properly controlled would not amount to a nuisance. This is a perfectly rational position, but in dealing with Captain Seddon for the past 3 years, it is clear he has no intention to reduce the number of dogs, and he will never keep them in the house, as they are there to serve a specific purpose, in his opinion, of protection and a deterrent. Mr. Turner wrote to Captain Seddon on the 11th of February 2008, Exhibit JN-7, advising him that following the outcome of the appeal, he must now comply with the terms of the notice. Mr. Turner requested Captain Seddon submit his proposals within 14 days. Mr. Turner also offered assistance from the Dog Warden Service and police with respect to security issues. We were still continuing to receive complaints from Mr. Hartwick, and following legal advice, Mr. Turner wrote to Captain Seddon on the 11th of March 2008, Exhibit JN-8, advising we will now use noise monitoring equipment as well as personal visits, and if we gathered evidence that confirmed the notice is being breached, then the council would need to take legal action to resolve this long-running complaint. I installed our new Rion, that is R-I-O-N, noise nuisance recorder within Mr. Hardwick's rear bedroom on the 12th of March 2008. The Rion noise recorder is a more advanced recorder than our previously used DAT recorders. The recorder allows the resident to record the noise using a handheld control or remote-controlled key fob, whilst at the same time a sound level meter records the noise on a continuous basis. The recordings are saved onto a memory card as opposed to tape. The memory card is downloaded onto a laptop and the recordings then saved onto the laptop's hard drive. The recordings are analysed using Rion noise software. The software allows the user to see the noise levels recorded, the date, time and duration of recordings, the number of recordings and ability to play the recordings through headphones for analysis. Mr. Turner then followed up his letter to Captain Seddon with another dated the 14th of March 2008, Exhibit JN-9, which referred to a telephone conversation between the two and an alleged letter sent by Captain Seddon, which we had not received. The letter dated the 8th of February 2008, which Captain Seddon referred to, arrived at PPSU on the 17th of March 2008, Exhibit JN-10, which confirms Captain Seddon has appealed to the European Court of Human Rights against Reading Crown Court's decision to dismiss his appeal. These documents were allegedly sent on the 31st of January 2008. Captain Seddon was requesting we put on hold the noise abatement notice pending the European Court appeal. Mr. Turner acknowledged receipt on the 17th of March 2008, Exhibit JN-11. David Oram, Acting Chief Executive, sent a letter dated the 17th of March 2008, requesting Captain Seddon pays the council legal costs, Exhibit JN-12. Captain Seddon then wrote to our Chief Executive on the 19th of March 2008, Exhibit JN-13, requesting again that the notice and court costs owed to RBWM be put on hold, in inverted commas, until the resolution of the appeal at the European Court of Human Rights. The matter was referred to our legal team to respond. It should be noted that to date, the Council has received no notification from the European Court of Human Rights in respect of Captain Seddon's appeal. The costs remain outstanding and a serious nuisance still continues. On the 18th of April 2008, Mr. Hardwick emailed me, Exhibit JN-14, regarding an incident relating to a dog barking since 4 a.m. and a dog whining in distress which was tangled up in rope. It allegedly took Captain Seven 20 minutes to respond to the complaint. On the 9th of May 2008, I received another email from Mr. Hardwick, Exhibit JN/15, that he has witnessed another dog hanging from its leg tangled in wire. Mr. Hardwick continues to keep me informed when the dog barking is very bad or there are incidents relating to welfare of dogs. Mr. Hardwick is clearly suffering badly and admits he is at the end of his tether, having to endure the persistent barking. I collected the noise nuisance recorder on the 16th of May 2008. I checked the recordings and noted the last recording was the 4th of April 2008 and that the memory card was full. On downloading the memory card, there were 145 recordings made between the 12th of March 2008 and 4th of April 2008. A full transcript of all the recordings is presented in Exhibit JN/16. A detailed analysis of the recordings revealed the following. Mr. Hardwick made recordings of dog barking nearly every day, with the exception of the 12th of March and the 19th of March 2008, e.g. a total of 22 out of 24 days. The number of recordings varied each day between one recording and 21 recordings made on the 23rd of March 2008. Mr. Hardwick made 60 recordings between 2300 hours and 0700 hours. This is equivalent to 41% of all the recordings made, including setup of the noise recorder. This is pertinent because a significant number of recordings are made when aircraft flights are restricted and road traffic noise starts to quiet down and the background levels significantly reduce. I have listened to all the recordings, and in my view, the highlighted recordings in Exhibit JN/16 present very good evidence of persistent and intrusive barking. I am satisfied based on the time, duration, persistency, and intrusiveness of the dog barking within Mr. Hardwick's premises that the noise constitutes a nuisance in breach of the noise abatement notice served on the 4th of January 2007. I visited Mr. Hardwick on the 24th of June 2008 at 23:15 hours by appointment. My observations were as follows. There were no dogs barking on arrival. This was despite the sound of my car engine and parking on Mr. Hardwick's drive. At 23:22 hours, the dogs started barking. This lasted 2 minutes. I could hear the dog barking clearly within Mr. Hardwick's living room downstairs, which is the furthest room in the house from Captain Seven's dogs. I then proceeded to monitor the noise within Mr. Hardwick's bedroom, and the barking was very intrusive. The noise stopped at 23:24 hours. The dog started barking again at 23:28 hours, this time in unison and more loudly. The barking continued until 23:35 hours. The barking was very intrusive within Mr. Hardwick's bedroom, even with the windows closed. The dog started barking again at 23:37 hours, and in my opinion, with the window open, it would not be possible to sleep. At 23:38 hours, I closed the window, and the noise from barking was still very intrusive and would make sleep very difficult. The dog's barking finally stopped at 23:43 hours. It was not possible to state how many dogs were barking, as it was dark outside, but it is clear several dogs were barking at the same time. At 23:46 hours, there was no dog barking, and the ambient noise was very quiet, and there were no aircraft movements on the night. At 23:56 hours, the dogs started barking again, two to three dogs barking. I went outside to dispel the myth that the dogs are protecting the premises and bark when intruders are about. There was no one outside, and the dogs seemed to be winding each other up. I walked to the other side of Horton Road, and there was no one about or any cars passing the property. The dog noise continued until midnight and then stopped. I left the premises at 25 minutes past midnight. In my opinion, the noise levels from dog barking was very loud and intrusive within Mr. Hardwick's bedroom and would affect sleep and spoil the peace and enjoyment of the use of the bedroom and indeed the house. There is no doubt in my mind the noise is a statutory nuisance and is a completely unacceptable noise within a residential area. Moreover, the noise is completely antisocial because Captain Seddon takes no direct action to control the dogs and abate the noise nuisance they cause. The noise constitutes a statutory nuisance in breach of the noise abatement notice served on the 4th of January 2007. My team leader, Philip Turner, also visited Mr. Hardwick on the 6th of August 2008 and observed a statutory nuisance from dog barking. This is reported separately in his witness statement. A meeting was arranged with our legal team on the 27th of August 2008 to discuss options in respect of enforcement action that can be taken to deal with the persistent noise nuisance emanating from Captain Seddon's dogs. It was agreed an injunction offered the best remedy to remove the dogs to abate the noise nuisance. It was felt that prosecuting Captain Seddon would be highly unlikely to remedy the problem. Captain Seddon has no money to pay a fine. He has still not paid the council's legal costs, which total £3,250, and it is not within the public interest to pursue a prosecution against Captain Seddon. We also considered direct action to seize the dogs, but concerns were expressed over the stress and anxiety caused to Captain Seddon, given his age, poor health, the cost and logistics of organising several agencies to attend, police, RSPCA, social service, dog wardens, as well as health and safety considerations, gaining access to Captain Seddon's property, which is covered in tarpaulin, ropes, metal, mechanical equipment and all manner of other materials. Our lawyer sought counsel's opinion on this matter. I installed the Ryon noise nuisance recorder within Mr. Hardwick's premises again on the 22nd of December 2008. I installed the recorder in the main bedroom. The purpose of the noise recordings are to assist me in determining the persistency, frequency, times and subjective level of the noise. But there are limitations with recordings that make additional personal site visits important when assessing the noise nuisance from dog barking. The key limitations of the noise nuisance recorder evidence is as follows. The noise levels cannot be reproduced in a courtroom setting due to changes in room dimensions when compared with Mr. Hardwick's bedroom and the way the sound will behave in such a room. The noise recordings do allow for a subjective assessment against the ambient noise present at the time of the recordings, and in particular to determine if the noise is significant. The recordings also allow verification of the times, dates and persistency of the dog barking and are used to assist me with the overall assessment of a statutory nuisance. I collected the noise nuisance recorder on the 21st of January 2009 and Mr. Hardwick had not kept a diary. I checked the recordings and noted the last recording was made on the 21st of January 2009. On downloading the recording, there were 233 recordings made between the 22nd of December 2008 and the 21st of January 2009. A full transcript of all the recordings is presented in Exhibit JN/17. The recordings totaled nearly 20 hours. It was a significant undertaking to analyse all this information. A detailed analysis of the recordings revealed the following. Mr. Hardwick made recordings of dogs barking every day with the exception of the 26th of December 2008 and the 17th of January 2009, e.g. a total of 29 out of 31 days. The number of recordings varied each day between 2 recordings and 18 recordings made on the 18th of January 2009. Mr. Hardwick made 88 recordings between 2300 hours and 0700 hours. This is equivalent to 38% of all the recordings made, including setup of the noise recorder. I have listened to all the recordings, and in my view, the highlighted recordings in Exhibit J and 17 present very good evidence of persistent and intrusive barking. I am satisfied based on the time, duration, persistency, and intrusiveness of the dog barking within Mr. Hardwick's premises that the noise constituted a nuisance in breach of the noise abatement notice served on the 4th of January 2007. After the extensive analysis of these noise recordings, whilst I was satisfied, I had valuable evidence demonstrating the persistency, frequency, and intrusiveness of the dog barking. I was of the opinion I needed to personally observe the dog barking noise nuisance to demonstrate without any reasonable doubt that this nuisance continues unabated and that the level of noise is completely unacceptable. I visited Mr. Hardwick on the 7th of May 2009 and arrived at 22.35 hours. Mr. Hardwick advised the dogs were barking until 22.15 hours. He stated he had seen 2 more puppies and also noted one of the bitches looks pregnant. I stayed until 10 minutes past midnight and witnessed no dog barking noise. I received an email from Mr. Hardwick on the 8th of May 2009, Exhibit JN/18, advising the dogs started barking and squealing for half an hour after I left. Mr. Turner visited Mr. Hardwick on the 13th of May 2009 and observed dog barking. This is reported separately under his witness statement. I visited Mr. Hardwick again on the 19th of May 2009 and arrived at 21.40 hours. On arrival, the dogs were barking in unison and howling. The noise was very loud in Mr. Hardwick's study. The aircraft were on westerly operations, e.g. taking off over Datchet Village. Very loud when flying over and masked the dog noise for about 30 seconds. The dog barking finished 21.42 hours, 2 minutes barking. The dog barking resumed at 22.03 hours for a few seconds and was audible in the living room. At 22.05 hours, dogs barking and howling was audible in kitchen, living room and study and lasted approximately 30 seconds. At 22.12 hours, dogs started again, this time 2 dogs barking and affected the main bedroom, study and downstairs area, living room, to a lesser extent. The barking lasted 3 solid minutes and also included howling and is very annoying and intrusive and spoils the peace and enjoyment of Mr. Hardwick's premises. I noted that aircraft noise, which is dominant when taking off, is every 3 to 4 minutes, and dog barking is audible in between the plane movements. At 22.15 hours, the dogs started barking and howling again, and the noise was intrusive and the barking continued for 2 minutes. At 22.18 hours, one dog barking was still audible, despite loud plane movements, except for 30 seconds whilst the aircraft was flying over the site. And at 22.19 hours, the dog was still barking and clearly audible within bedroom, even with windows closed. At 22.20 hours, the dog barking stopped, 2 minutes of barking. At 22.22 hours, the barking started again. One dog and was intermittent on-off barking until 22-25 hours, lasted 3 minutes, then was quiet until 22-33 hours. At 22-33 hours, one dog started barking on other side of garden, away from Mr. Hardwick's property, but still clearly audible. However, it was not as intrusive and stopped at 22-35 hours, i.e. lasted 2 minutes, and was then quiet. The dog barking started again at 22-36 hours, now near to the study, and then a second dog started barking. This stopped at 22-37 hours, i.e. 2 minutes of barking. I left Mr. Hardwick's house at 22-40 hours, and during the time I was there, worked out that I had noted 16 to 17 minutes barking over 60 minutes. I am of the opinion the barking was intrusive and spoilt Mr. Hardwick's peace and enjoyment of his premises, and this was despite aircraft noise passing over every 3 to 4 minutes. I am satisfied Mr. Hardwick is experiencing a persistent noise nuisance from Captain Seddon's dog's barking. I visited Mr. Hardwick again on the 3rd of June 2009 and arrived at 21:05 hours and noted no dog noise on arrival. At 21:20 hours, the barking started initially, a few dogs barking on the office side of Mr. Hardwick's house, then 2 to 3 dogs barking that lasted 3 minutes. The barking ceased 21:23 hours, then started again and was on-off intermittent until 21:26 hours. Another 3 minutes of barking, then quiet. The dog started barking again at 21:27 hours for 10 seconds, then stopped, then started again at 21:28 hours for a few seconds. During this monitoring, I noticed occasional movements from road traffic noise and aircraft landing over Datchet, operating easterly. At 21:32 hours, the dog started barking again, this time 2 dogs for a few seconds. At 21:35 hours, there was no noise. I counted 6 dogs within Captain Seddon's grounds. I also noted the light was on at the side of house. Mr. Hardwick told me that this is on all the time, and the dogs tend to congregate in this area. This is close to Captain Seddon's back door. At 21:52 hours, the dogs started to bark persistently, but one dog in particular was dominant in its barking. The barking lasted 3 minutes and stopped at 21:55 hours. At 21:58 hours, the dog started barking in unison, including howling, and the noise was very loud and disruptive and highly annoying. It lasted 3 minutes, then quiet. At 22:04 hours, the dog barking started again and lasted for a few seconds. I left Mr. Hardwick's house at 22:10 hours. I had witnessed 13 minutes of barking, over 65 minutes of observation, and considered the noise spoilt Mr. Hardwick's peace and enjoyment of his property and was a further statutory nuisance. Mr. Turner sent a final letter on the 4th of June 2009, Exhibit JN/19, to Captain Seddon, requesting he remove his dogs within the next 28 days, and that we would assist him in this requirement. Otherwise, as a last resort, we would have to seek an injunction in the High Court to remove the dogs to ensure there is a permanent and effective solution to deal with this ongoing, persistent and unreasonable noise nuisance. Captain Seddon responded to us, letter dated the 7th of June 2009, Exhibit JN/20, reconfirming his position that he has appealed to the European Court of Human Rights on the 29th of January 2008. It alleged the court has a backlog and a date for a hearing is still to be determined. In Captain Seddon's view, this appeal puts the case on hold. However, despite Captain Seddon's position, this nuisance cannot continue indefinitely, and Mr. Hardwick also has a basic right to reasonable quiet, peace and enjoyment of his home. However, almost every night his sleep is being disturbed by Captain Seddon's dog barking. It is clear from Captain Seddon's latest letter he has no intention to control his dog's barking. It is clear from reviewing the evidence that both several dogs and on a regular occasion a single dog barking is causing Mr. Hardwick a serious nuisance. In my view, there is no easy solution, but the only effective remedy is to remove all the dogs from Captain Seddon and obtain a court order to prevent him obtaining any more. The application seeks the removal of all the dogs because even one dog could bark incessantly and continue to cause a noise nuisance, and Captain Seddon will not attend to the dog. Further, Captain Seddon has no intention of allowing dogs within the house, and hence any number of dogs that remain will do so outside with the potential to continue to cause a noise nuisance. Captain Seddon has clearly demonstrated he lacks any desire to control the noise from his dogs. The council has considered prosecutions for the witnessed breaches, but the penalty for breach of an noise abatement notice is a financial penalty up to level 5. In my view, as set out in paragraph 24 above, because he has to date not paid the court costs he owes to the council, and because he has very little money on his own account, the threat of a fine would not be effective in abating the noise. Further, again as set out above, I do not consider that taking direct action to remove the dogs would be the most expedient option at this stage, given the logistical difficulties of so doing, the anxiety it would cause, and the high cost which would be unlikely to be recovered. The following is a statement of truth by Jason Newman, dated the 24th of November 2009. This document follows now with aerial views of the property and a map detailing all the properties in that area. This is a letter dated the 4th of January 2007. And these are the exhibits, as mentioned in the previous statement. This is Exhibit JN-2. Dear Captain Seddon, the council has received complaints about noise problems caused by dogs barking on your premises. These complaints have been investigated by officers of the Public Protection Unit and a statutory nuisance, as defined under the terms of the Environmental Protection Act 1990, has been established. The problems have been confirmed as occurring at many times of the day and night, but the main problem is at night. The terms of the notice require you to abate the nuisance, and whilst the means is specified, the main objective of the notice is to prevent the nuisance. You will see that there is the option to take any action, which is no less effective than the remedy specified. You should be aware that the Act requires a council to investigate complaints alleging statutory nuisance, and where it is satisfied that a nuisance exists, it shall serve a notice requiring abatement. The council is so satisfied. The situation will be monitored to ensure your compliance. I feel certain that you will wish to cooperate with the council in seeking a solution to this nuisance. A letter indicating your agreement would be appreciated. If you have any inquiries, please contact me. Following is also under JN-2. This is the Environmental Protection Act 1990, Section 80, an abatement notice in respect of noise nuisance to Captain Maurice Seddon of 138 Horton Road, Datchet, Berkshire. Take notice that under the provisions of the Environmental Protection Act 1990, the Royal Borough of Windsor and Maidenhead, being satisfied of the existence and likely recurrence of noise amounting to a nuisance under Section 79(1)(g) of that Act at 138 Horton Road, Datchet, the premises, within the district of the said council, arising from the unrestrained barking, howling of a dogs, hereby require you, as the person responsible for the said nuisance and occupier of the premises from which the noise is or would be emitted within 28 days from the service of this notice to abate the same, and also hereby prohibit recurrence of the same, and for that purpose require you to remove the dog or dogs from the premises, or take other no less effective action to abate the nuisance. This is a notice to which paragraph 2, and then there's an ongoing formal requirements. If, without reasonable excuse, you contravene or fail to comply with any requirement of this notice, you will be guilty of an offence under section 80/4 of the Environmental Protection Act 1990, and on summary conviction will be liable to a fine not exceeding level 5 on the standard scale, together with a further fine of an amount equal to 1/10 of that level for each day on which the offence continues after conviction. A person who commits an offence on industrial, trade or business premises will be liable on summary conviction to a fine not exceeding £20,000. The Council may also take proceedings in the High Court for securing the abatement, prohibition or restriction of the nuisance. Further, if you fail to execute all or any of the works in accordance with this notice, the Council may execute the works and recover from you the necessary expenditure incurred. And this is signed, illegible, on behalf of Public Protection and Sustainability Unit, York House, Sheet Street, Windsor, Berkshire. August 28, 2007, Philip Turner writing to Captain Retired Maurice Seddon, Datchet Cottage, 138 Horton Road, Datchet, Berkshire. Dear Captain Seddon, I write following confirmation of the statutory notice above at the Berkshire Magistrates Court on Wednesday the last, 22nd of August 2007. Before seeking to enforce the notice or arranging monitoring for infringements, I shall be pleased if you will advise me of your proposals for implementing the terms of the notice and your timescale. I would be happy to offer both the assistance of my environmental protection team and the associated dog warden service to you in this matter. I look forward to hearing from you as soon as possible, and any event before the 11th of September 2007. Signed, Philip Turner, Team Leader, Environmental Protection. Now, the following, which is Exhibit JN/4, is a short letter from Captain Seddon. So he heads it, Captain M. Seddon, Royal Signals Retired, Datchet Cottage, 138 Horton Road, Datchet, Royal Berkshire, 01753 542 242. This is dated Monday, the 3rd of September 2007, and it's addressed to the Tyrannical PPSU, RBWM Council, York House, Sheet Street, Windsor, SL4 1DD. Dear Sir, in reply to your letter, dated the 28th of August 07, on the 24th of August 07, I dispatched my notice of appeal to Reading Crown Court. It was sent to the Slough Court as instructed. I have subsequently confirmed that the Slough Court have duly received it. I shall, if need be, appeal to the highest European court. Yours faithfully, M. Seddon, Captain Retired. And here is the notice of appeal. This is the notice of appeal as lodged by Captain Seddon to the clerk of the East Berkshire Magistrates Courts, Chalvey Park, off Windsor Road, Slough, Berkshire. And he heads it, my appeal was rejected by Bracknell Court. I, Captain Maurice Frank Henry Urquhart Nacomb Seddon, Royal Signals Retired, of Datchet Cottage, 138 Horton Road, Datchet, SL39HF, Royal Berkshire, since 1958 in brackets. By the East Berkshire Magistrates' Courts, sitting at Bracknell Courthouse on the 22nd of August 2007. I give notice that I intend to appeal to the Crown Court at Reading against this rejection. The general grounds of appeal are: this rejection constitutes, in my considered opinion, the most glaring travesty of true justice I have ever encountered in all my 81 years, plus 3 months of life experience. It has the most terrible, potentially lethal, indirect consequences for me, as Judge Vickers very well knows and understands. It totally ignored any and all of the numerous complex and unique extenuating circumstances inseparable from this matter. It takes account only of purely legalistic, narrow considerations to the very letter of the law, as distinct from an intelligent, flexible interpretation of the law, which, if it is to be just, it certainly has to be. And various words are in block capitals, including travesty, true justice, lethal, Judge Vickers, etc., unique, and letter of the law. I am compelled, for reasons of survival in block capitals, to appeal to the Crown Court, dated the 24th of August 2007, signed Maurice Seddon, Captain. A letter from Jason Newman replying to Captain Maurice Seddon. This is dated the 17th of December 2007. This is Exhibit JN/5. I write to inform you we are still receiving complaints of noise nuisance from your dogs barking within the grounds of 138 Horton Road. We are investigating these complaints, which, if upheld, would place you in breach of your noise abatement notice served on you, dated the 4th of January 2007. We are, of course, aware of your appeal to be heard at Reading Crown Court on the 24th and 25th of January 2008. Nevertheless, we have a legal duty to investigate these complaints and to compile evidence in breach of the noise abatement notice. You should note that we intend to use our noise monitoring equipment, as well as personal site visit, to observe the noise from your dog's barking. If you fail to comply with the terms of the notice and evidence is gathered, the council may need to take legal action to resolve this long-running complaint. Yours sincerely, Philip Turner, Team Leader, Environmental Protection. Exhibit JN6, in the Reading Crown Court, Seddon versus the Royal Borough of Windsor and Maidenhead, judgment. This is an appeal to the Reading Crown Court from the decision of District Judge Andrew Vickers, sitting in the Bracknell Magistrates Court, who was there hearing an appeal against the validity of an abatement notice dated the 4th of January 2007, issued by the respondent Royal Borough of Windsor and Maidenhead under the provisions of Section 80 of the Environmental Protection Act 1990. The notice alleged that the local authority, being satisfied of the existence and likely recurrence of noise amounting to a nuisance under Section 79(1)(g) of the 1990 Act, at 138 Horton Road, Datchet, Berkshire, required the appellant, as the person responsible for the nuisance and occupier of the premises, within 28 days from the service of the notice to abate the same. The notice also sought to prohibit recurrence of the nuisance, and for that purpose required the appellant to remove the dog or dogs from the premises or take other, no less effective action to abate the nuisance. The nuisance itself was expressed as arising from the unrestrained barking stroke howling of a dog stroke dogs. The general grounds of appeal were that the decision of the learned district judge was the most glaring travesty of true justice, has the most terrible, potentially lethal indirect consequences for the appellant, and totally ignored any and all of the numerous complex and unique extenuating circumstances inseparable from this matter. The appellant appeals in person and within his notice of appeal, dated the 24th of August 2007, continues his general grounds by suggesting that the decision of the district judge takes account only of purely legalistic, narrow considerations to the very letter of the law, as distinct from an intelligent, flexible interpretation of the law, which, if it is to be just, it certainly has to be. By section 80(3) of the Act, the appellant appealed to the district judge, and as a result of the decision of that tribunal, he appeals to the Crown Court by virtue of paragraph 1(3) of Schedule 3 to the Act. By Regulation 2 of the Statutory Nuisance Appeals Regulations 1995, as amended, a person may appeal under Section 80(3) in a number of different circumstances. By subsection 2, they are listed in the statutory instruments as individual grounds running from A to J. By agreement between the parties, only A applies to this appeal. The appellant suggesting that within subparagraph that the abatement notice is not justified by section 80 of the 1990 Act, no objection has been taken to the form of notice itself. We have considered the evidence in this appeal over some 2.5 days, including a view of the premises concerned and the area surrounding the address in Datchet. In view of the importance of this matter to the appellant and to the various members of the local community, we set out our findings and reasons in a little detail below. The background to this appeal. The appellant is Captain Maurice Frank Henry Urquhart Nacomb Seddon, a retired officer in the Royal Signals. He is now aged in his 80s and lives alone at Datchet Cottage, 138 Horton Road, Datchet, where he has lived for almost exactly 50 years. He has no living relatives. He does not own the property, but has possession under some charitable arrangement, which would seem, without deciding the issue, to be something in the nature of a life tenancy. He is not wealthy and has no funds to live elsewhere. During the years that Mr. Seddon has lived in his cottage, there have been substantial changes to his immediate area. They can be shortly summarised by stating that what was once open land has been developed, and the general area is now fully residential with substantial housing in both the immediate and slightly more distant vicinity. There are a number of properties in very close proximity to Datchet Cottage, including that of Mr. Hardwick, who lives in the adjoining premises at The Gables. The appellant has always kept some dogs, but the number in this residential premises are now somewhere between 9 and 11. Mr. Hardwick complains vociferously about the barking and howling of the dogs, and the respondent, local authority, takes the view that the extent of the noise is a statutory nuisance. The authority therefore issued its abatement notice. Well, this will have to be continued in a second programme, since there are still several pages of legal documents to go through, and to read out all of them will require a second programme. So we will have to take a break there.
This programme has been brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you heard, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.